Thank you, Father Mario. You've heard your pastor tell me these young people have asked to be confirmed. They've been studying and working towards that for at least a year, probably more than that. I accept his invitation to do the confirmation, but I want you, the family and friends and parishioners here at St. Cyril's, to show these young people that you think they ought to be confirmed by giving them some sign of affirmation. Thank you very much. Hey, that must have felt good to get all that applause, huh? I'd ask y'all to be seated. Folks, I'm talking to them today. You're along for the ride, okay? Today, you are receiving the last of the initiation sacraments of the Holy Catholic Church. You've already received two of them, baptism and the Eucharist. Today, you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit in confirmation. And every time you receive one of those sacraments, something special happened to you. How many of you guys here remember your baptism? Why don't you all remember your baptism? Huh? You're a baby, right, huh? You were along for the ride. Your parents conceived you, gave birth to you. What was one of the first things they did after you were born? What? Somebody gave you a name. Correct. Some people say baptized you. No, that came later, huh? Gave you a name, and you've had to live with that name ever since, whether you like it or not, right? So they gave you a name, and then they decided to have you baptized, and they picked sponsors for you. They brought you to the church. They were asked at the door, what are you asking of God's church for this baby? Baptism. Are you ready to accept that responsibility? Yes. The priest claimed you for Christ the Savior and put a cross on your forehead. Brought you into the church for the baptism. And right before you were baptized, your parents and godparents were asked to renew baptismal promises. And they were asked five questions. Do they reject Satan? Do they believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Do they believe in the Holy Catholic Church? They answered for you, huh? They were saying yes to all of these. And then you were baptized. The priest or the deacon poured water over your head three times and said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. After they dried you off and you quit crying, the deacon or priest anointed you on the forehead with chrism and claimed you for Christ our Savior. In that action, you were washed clean of all sin and you were given new life in the Spirit. And you became a child of God. What a great title. A child of God, huh? And at the end of the ceremony, there's three blessings, one for mama, one for daddy, and one for the church. And in the blessing for the dad, it says, you and your wife will be the first teachers of your child in the ways of the faith. You must be the best of teachers by what you say and what you do. Your parents were challenged to be your first teachers. They accepted that responsibility. And then as you grew up, you got more teachers, huh? You went to faith formation class. Maybe some of you went to Catholic school. You got more teachers teaching you not only the ABCs, but they also taught you the faith. And when you got to the end of your second grade, it was time for you to receive the body of Christ for the first time. I can remember vividly my reception of my first communion, and every time I go to communion, I have that same joy and excitement in my heart, even 65 years later. So you receive the body of Christ at the end of your second grade. And when you receive the body and the blood of Christ, you were no longer just a child of God. You became a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. Huh? What a great privilege that is, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, y'all are what grade? What grade are y'all in? 10th? Y'all have the loudest voice. 10th, 11th, and 12th. You're in high school. There's a lot of difference between second grade and high school, isn't it? You're taking ownership in your own faith life. Today, you have chosen sponsors to be with you. You chose them, I hope. I hope they weren't put on you by your parents. That was a decision you made. Could be an aunt, an uncle, grandma, grandpa, a brother, a sister, a friend. But you chose these sponsors to walk with you in the journey of faith. You gave yourself new names, huh? You're not going to be confirmed in your given name. You're going to be confirmed in your saint's name. You chose that name, huh? And hopefully you Googled them and looked up and studied what they are and saw something special that you chose that name. And then you are choosing to be confirmed. And when I put that chrism oil on your head and say, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, you are going to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You received that Spirit when you were baptized, but now you're going to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And when you receive that gift, you're not just a child of God anymore. You're not just a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are going to be a witness of the good news of God's love. Another name for that? Apostles. You are going to be modern day apostles. And you're saying to yourself, how can that be? I'm only a sophomore, junior, or senior in high school. I'm too young to be doing all of that stuff. Wrong. You are accepting that gift, that responsibility today. And I can show you how the Holy Spirit touched people's lives and helped them to be doing things they never thought they would be able to do. Let's look at the scriptures. The very first book of Luke's gospel is the story of a young lady named Mary. And it says in that first line, it's like the sixth verse of the first chapter. It said, there was a young lady named Mary who was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Do you know what betrothed means? Anybody? Y'all are the softest voices I've ever heard in my life. What do y'all think betrothed means? Huh? Engaged, right. They were engaged. You know how old that young girl, that Mary was? About your age. About 15 or 16 years old. Now, if you went home and told your mother you were betrothed to a man named Joseph, what would she do? I'm sure she would faint, huh? They didn't live as long as we do today, huh? But she was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Her parents were Anne and Joachim, very holy family. And they raised her to be a very prayerful person. And she was probably at prayer when an angel appeared to her. The angel Gabriel appeared to her and said, blessed are you among all women. If an angel appeared to you and said, blessed are you among all people, what would you do? I think I would freak out. Somebody told me once, I'd faint. Yeah. And Mary wondered what all of that meant. And then he said something that really shocked her. Today, God has chosen you to be the bearer of the Messiah of the world. And Mary's immediate response was, how can that be? I don't know, man. I'm not married. How can that happen? And he said to her, fear not, Mary, for it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that this will happen to you. And without even shaking an eyelash or thinking about it, she said, let it be done unto me according to your word. And it said in the scriptures, at that moment, the Holy Spirit entered into her person and she conceived the child in her womb. That child is Jesus. She conceived by saying yes to the Lord. The Spirit gave her that strength to say yes. And then there, in Luke's gospel, there's a line that the angel told Mary at that same time. Your cousin Elizabeth, who was thought not to be able to have a child, is now in her sixth month. I always wondered, why did Luke put that one line in there? The more I think about it, it was giving Mary a chance to respond to God's challenge. She could have run all over Galilee telling everybody, I'm important, look at me. I'm carrying the Savior of the world. Bow down before me. She could have done that. But no, he challenged her to go on a mission trip, to take her child with her and go take care of somebody in need, to serve others. And that's what she did. And it said when she got to Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth greeted her, blessed is the fruit of your womb. How did Elizabeth know that she was pregnant, God filled her in on that, And Mary simply said, I'm a humble servant of the Lord. I'm not that important. Don't worry about it. And Elizabeth said, when you approached, the baby in my womb leapt for joy at being in the presence of the Messiah. The baby knew that she was carrying the Savior of the world, carrying Jesus, Mary ministered to her for 3 months, it said. Then she went back to have her own child. And as they're preparing for that child to be born, the emperor said, I want a census taken of all the Jewish people. You have to go back to your ancestral home. Mary and Joseph lived in the north of Israel. Joseph was from Bethlehem, which is in the south. So they had to travel a great distance. Mary was probably 7 or 8 months pregnant at that time. If you go to a doctor today and say, I want to travel and you're 7 or 8 months pregnant, they don't say, no, you don't. You stay right here, But they traveled the great distance. And when they got to Bethlehem, it says there was no room for them. And they ended up in a stable. Now, we think of a stable as that little wooden building that's got a lot of hay in it and stalls and all that. I went to Bethlehem a year or so ago. I looked all over for a stable like that. I couldn't find one there. Come to find out, the stable concept that we have for our cribs, the crèche scene that we have, that was St. Francis of Assisi. He put that all together. And the little box that has the legs and the hay in it that they call the manger, that's his idea of what it was. What I found out is in the Holy Land, the stable was a cave. And then they put the animals in the back of the cave. The people lived in the front where it was fresh air. But in that cave was always like a table, a rock formation, and they would chisel out a little bowl in it that they would put the hay in. And it said when Jesus was born, Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the womb, in the manger. I always wondered what swaddling clothes were. I found out when I went to see my niece after she had her first baby. I got there right around feeding time, and this nurse comes bouncing into the room with this kid under her arm. I mean, literally holding it under her arm. And she handed the child over to my niece, and all the child had was a head. No arms, no legs, huh? And it was all wrapped up. That's swaddling clothes. In the Jewish tradition, when a person died, they were wrapped in cloth and laid in the tomb. If you look at Luke's gospel, it begins with that birth and ends with Christ's death. Mary knew what was going to happen to her son. She presented him to everyone wrapped in that cloth, symbolic of his death. Huh? She laid him on the altar of the manger, like he was laid on the altar in the tomb. Huh? She knew what was going to happen to her son, but she supported him in every way she could, taught him everything he needed to do. And when he turned 30 years old, it was time for him to begin his public ministry. How did he do that? He started by going to the River Jordan. The River Jordan is the holy river. If you go there up north, it's the Sea of Galilee. Down south is the Dead Sea. And there's a river that runs between them. And everywhere that river is, it's nice green land. Get away from the river, it's desert. It's the lifeline of the Jewish people. And Jesus went there because in the tradition of the Jewish person, before you went into the temple, you had to wash yourself clean. And so they had men there called baptizers who watched over and helped cleanse the people. And one of them was named John. And when Jesus approached, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world." He called Jesus the Lamb of God. Now, lamb played a very important role in Jewish tradition, Jewish salvation history. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people were slaves to the Pharaoh in Egypt. How were they set free? God told them to kill the best lamb that they had, take its blood and put it on the doorframe of the house, cook the lamb, dress and be ready to travel and eat the lamb. And an angel will pass over, and if it sees the blood of the lamb, everybody's saved in that house. No blood, first animal, first person dies. Jewish people did that. They were set free. That lamb's blood on the door was their freedom from slavery to the Pharaoh. Huh? So Paul was saying, here comes the Savior, the one who is going to save us. Eventually, Jesus died on the cross. Huh? His blood shed on the cross saved us from sin. Huh? So he's calling Jesus that Savior. And Jesus comes up and simply says to John, "I want you to baptize me." And John goes into a fit and says, "No, I should be baptized by you, not you by me." Jesus simply said, "Do it." And John did. And it said, when Jesus came out of the river, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And a voice was heard to say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus was filled with the Spirit. What did he do with that Spirit? He went out and chose 12 apostles, 12 ordinary men. And these men were going to walk with Jesus throughout the rest of his life. Everywhere that Jesus went, they went with him. And everywhere Jesus went, what was the first thing that he did when he got to a city? He told everybody that God loves you. That's the good news. God loves you. And then he taught those people scriptures. And then he even healed them of illnesses, drove out the evil spirits. He even brought people back to life. And the apostles saw that for 3 years. They went all over Israel and even into some of the outlying areas, not Israel. proclaiming the good news. And eventually Jesus said, I want y'all to go out and do that in my name. So he sent them out in twos, and there were disciples, followers, that also went out with the apostles. And they came back and said, you won't believe what happened in your name. The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk. People are made whole again. They love your message. They love you. Jesus must have been very proud. They learned. But guess what? They didn't have the fullness of the Spirit yet. Because a few months later, Jesus says, it's time for me to go up to Jerusalem. You always go up to Jerusalem, even though it's in the south. Why do you call it up? It's 3,200 feet above sea level. You have to go up. So everybody goes up to Jerusalem. And Jesus said, when I go up to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen. They're going to arrest me. They're going to persecute me and crucify me on the cross. I'm going to die. And on the third day, I'm going to be raised from the dead. All the apostles went ballistic. No, stay here. We'll protect you. Don't do anything. Peter even comes up and remonstrates with Jesus and says, in essence, this is the dumbest thing you've ever thought of. And Jesus simply said, get behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're talking about. And he said, if I don't go up and do these things, you can't be saved. And so old Peter comes up, Thomas comes up and says, let's go with him. We'll all die with him. And then Peter comes up and says, Lord, I'll be with you through it all. So they went up to Jerusalem, entered the city. They're singing hallelujahs and hosanna in the highest, laying palm branches in front of them. By Friday, they're yelling, crucify him. Crucify him. So that Jesus had a dinner with his disciples the night before all the arrest happened. He gave them his body and blood as a spiritual strengthening, He gave him himself, but they had not yet received the fullness of the Spirit. As Jesus went out to pray in the garden, and he asked the apostles to pray with him, and what did they do? They slept. Three times he came back, they slept. On the third time, Judas, one of his 12, came out and kissed him on the cheek. A sign, this is the one to arrest. They arrested Jesus, and good old Peter came up with a sword and sliced the ear of the servant. And Jesus said, put that thing up. That's not how we act. And he healed the ear. They took him away. Where did the apostles go? Every which way but with Jesus. Peter followed at a great distance as they took Jesus to be interrogated. He was out in the garden, warming himself, it says, and some lady walks up to him and says, you look like a Galilean. No, I'm not a Galilean. Well, you talk like one. They must talk like people from Dallas or something like that. You talk like one. I do not. I saw you with that man. I've never seen him in my life. A cock crowed. Peter knew he had failed Jesus. Jesus heard it. He knew he had failed. Now they took Jesus out and they crucified him. They crucified him. Who was with him at the foot of the cross? Who do you think was the first person there? Mary, his mama, was there. John the Apostle came back. He was there. Mary Magdalene, a woman who had been possessed and freed of sin, was there. And Mary Cleophas, Mary's sister. They were there standing with Jesus, giving him courage, giving him strength. Mary was always with him in everything he did. She had taught him and stayed with him and guided him and strengthened him. And what was Jesus thinking about as he was dying? He was thinking about his mama. as he looked at John and said, "Behold your mother," and looked at Mary and said, "Behold your son." He gave Mary to John, and it says she lived with him for the rest of her life. Jesus was thinking of his mama. He wasn't thinking of himself. Huh? He was dying, yes, but he was going to make sure that she was taken care of. He died for us. He's making sure that we're being taken care of. And how did that happen? Well, they took him down and they buried him. Very quickly, because it was almost the Sabbath. They didn't get to wrap him in the cloth. They didn't get to anoint him like it's the tradition. So they buried him and everybody went away. The apostles hiding in the upper room. And it said on that third day, Mary Magdalene came back. And she had the cloth to wrap him in. She had the oils to anoint him. And when she got there, the only thing she saw was the cloth they had laid across Jesus' face. And Jesus wasn't in the tomb. She saw the person and said, "Where have you put him? Tell him where you're at." It was an angel. He said, "Go back and tell everyone he has been raised." So she ran back. Peter and John came out. They went back. And it said, on that day in the upper room, Jesus appeared to them. And he simply said to them, "Peace be with you." If I had been Jesus, I would have probably yelled, "Where were you at when I needed you?" Huh? But Jesus simply said, "Peace be with you." Showed him his nail marks. It slid in his side. And he said, "Peace be with you." And breathed his spirit upon them. He was saying, in essence, even though you failed me, I love you. And for the next 40 days, he stayed with the apostles and taught them everything they had to know. Explained everything that had happened and what was going to happen. And he told them, you have to pray. You have to be ready to receive this gift that the Father is sending to you. I must go to him so that can happen. So he was raised into the heavens. And what did the apostles do? Golly, look at that. They just stood there gaping. And an angel said, "Go back and do what he told you to do." So they went back and prepared. And on the 50th day of Passover, it said they were all in the upper room and the wind started blowing and tongues of fire came down upon their heads. And they were filled with the Spirit. And they began talking in a language that every person of every race and nation could understand. And good old Peter, "I'll be there with you, Peter," was the first one out the door. The other 10 followed him. They went into the center of the city. He was preaching Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And on that day, 3,000 people were brought into the church. And every day after that, all of the 11 apostles that were left went out preaching the good news. And they were converting people right and left. And Jesus said, "You will start in Jerusalem and then you'll go to the rest of Israel. Then you will go to Samaria, the foreign countries. And from there to the world." And that's what they did. If you know anybody from India, ask them which apostle came to India. And they'll all tell you, John. John brought the faith to the people of India. Can you imagine traveling that far in the time of Christ? That was a great distance to go. That's how far out the message was spreading. Huh? They went all the way to England and Ireland area. They went all over the world. The apostles died. But those who had heard the message gave it to the next generation. And for the last 2,000 plus years, that message has been shared from year to year to people from everywhere. You have received that same message. You have heard the good news proclaimed to you. You have accepted that and now want to be able to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit like Mary received, like Jesus received, like the apostles received, like the saints that you have chosen received, huh? You have said yes to that call. And if you follow through like the apostles did, like all of the saints did, you know, someday, 5 years after you die, the church might say, that person lived such a holy life, we want to make them a saint. And some kid being confirmed a long time from now might choose you as their saint that they want to wear their name. You could be a saint with the big S if you live your faith and let the Spirit guide you and challenge you to witness to the good news to everyone you come in contact with. That's a big challenge. But it's a big gift that you're going to receive today. So I'm challenging you, if you're ready to receive that gift, I'm going to ask you to stand. Are you ready to receive that gift? Well, that's exciting. Okay, that's better. Okay. I'm going to ask you some questions at this time. And you're going to speak for yourself. So now, how about standing here? So now before you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I will ask you these questions that were asked of your parents and godparents the time of your baptism. So I asked you all, do you renounce Satan and all of his works and empty promises?
I do.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth? And do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered death and was buried, rose from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of the Father?
Amen.
And do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who today, through the sacrament of confirmation, is given to you in a special way, just as he was given to the apostles on the day of Pentecost? Do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? This is our faith. This is the faith of the Church. We are proud to profess it in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Now I'm going to say a prayer upon you, and the priests are going to come down here with me. And I'm going to ask your sponsors to stand and place their right hand on your right shoulder. And in this prayer, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding, right judgment, courage, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Those are not words, they're actions. You are to make wise decisions, huh? Think before you act. My mother used to tell me, son, before you open your mouth, count to 30. I have to count to about 100 now. So make wise decisions. Be understanding of each other. How many times have you pointed out somebody else's faults? I always say, when you point at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at you. You have as many faults, if not more, than they have. Huh? Give good counsel. Don't just say, if it feels good, do it. Help somebody to think about what they are wanting to do and give them good counsel. Huh? Have courage. If you go to school tomorrow and somebody comes up and says, are you a Catholic? How are you going to respond to that? Yeah, I guess I am. Are you going to say, yes, I'm a Roman Catholic. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Yes, I am fed by his love through word and his body and blood. Yes, I'm proud to be a Catholic. Or you have that courage to do that, huh? Knowledge. This is the one you like. No more classes. I've done all my studying in the faith now. All I can do is sit back and relax. No. You got to keep studying. Keep learning. Piety. Go to the sacraments. Penance is not a punishment. It's God saying, I love you. Go to the penance often. Go to communion on a regular basis. Go to Mass on a regular basis. And whatever you do, walk with the Lord. Those are the gifts that you're getting. Let them live in you.